Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello, people of Donegal, we have done it!
Oh, it's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Jimmy's winning that team. Jimmy's winning
the thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose, and you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kintyre.
Goal 2:23, Clare 4 points, 29 versus 4, so a 25 point victory for Donegal. Manus Boyle, Donegal have done their end. We're just waiting now for a full time score coming through from Tullamore.
Yeah, I mean, all Donegal had to do today was come down, do what they've been asked to do in the championship so far. They came along, they done their job from the very moment that Ryan McHugh scored the first goal. Clare were on the back foot. I'm not going to get too hung up on the Clare performance, but Donegal had to do what they had to do. They've done it very well. Under McGuinness, they've always carried out their duties and they've always done what they've been asked to do. So, roll on the next 2 weeks. I think Tyrone have done us a massive favour, but that favour is only a count if we can roll on in the quarter final and land ourselves a shot at one of the big boys in the All Ireland semi final.
Peter.
Yeah, according to my phone here, there's 5 minutes of added time played in Tullamore. Tyrone are leading by 4, and we'll be expecting that they will hold on. We're just waiting for the full time score to be announced there. But you know, it looks like Donegal will top the group. Tyrone will be second, and Cork will finish after beating Donegal the last time. They're going to end up finishing in third place, but because if there was any question of a difference in score difference, the 3 points between Donegal and Tyrone winning today certainly would put to bed here, even by half.
Full time. Tyrone have beaten Cork by 4 points, so Donegal have topped the group. That is a massive scoreline coming from Tullamore, 118 to 17 points. Donegal will go straight into the quarterfinal. There will be no preliminary quarterfinal. Some people are texting me 4, some people are texting me 5. Do you know what, lads? Who cares? Donegal are top of the group. Promotion to Division 1, Ulster champions. Now they've topped the group, Manus. 3 green ticks.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's all about now Croke Park in a couple of weeks' time, making sure everybody's healthy. I think any of the teams that'll be out next week, it'll hardly be, maybe Mayo might be out next week, but I don't think any of them will be any All-Ireland contenders. I think Donegal now, their next big game will be one of the top 2 or 3, which will be a Kerry or a Dublin or a Mayo, they'll have to get ready for. So I'm sure Jim McGuinness knew when he came in, he knew he had the players from the previous years to turn around Donegal's fortunes. He's also got the support of, you know, financially he's got the support, the clubs have rode in behind him, the Gaels of Donegal have rode in behind him, and the players, the most important ones in the whole jigsaw, have come up and they've done their work and they've done their job, and now we head for Croke Park in a couple of weeks' time. I think it's important that we be realistic, that we still have a lot of work to do if we have to compete with the likes of Dublin, Mayo, Galway and Kerry.
Yeah, that's I think that really sums it up. But you know, the fact that they've got top the group, it's going to be a huge boost to them going forward. Hopefully Jason McGee, you know, will have recovered in that time. Though we did quite well today at midfield, Kieran Moore I thought was excellent for the full 70 minutes, replacing him in the middle of the field, and we had Hugh McFadden coming in as well. So we're developing a panel, with especially with Conor O'Donnell back today and hitting 2 points in the second half. Like, Jim McGuinness must be licking his lips at the prospect of, you know, getting the full squad and having a go at one of the big guns. You know, we could, I don't know who we will end up with. Obviously, there's a preliminary quarter final to come through first, but we'll, you know, we'll go into that draw for the quarter finals. You know, in a fairly, fairly confident mood now. You know, it will be shown that what happened in Cork a couple of weeks ago was a little blip. The players had their confidence back today. There's some of them still out on the field here, and the rain is actually coming down here fairly heavily. But, you know, I see Patrick Morgan and Caelan McGulligan still out on the field. Players trying to get photographs, or young supporters of Donegal trying to get photographs. Oisin Gallen is surrounded here in front of the stand. It's great days for Donegal, and I mean, we have to pay tribute to Tyrone for doing us that favour down in Tullamore. We needed that, I suppose, more than anything. And Cork and Tyrone probably needed it as well, because they want to continue in this championship. They wanted to have a home game next week. But the benefit of Donegal, having a quarter final in Croke Park and having the 2 week break, and it's just been announced here on the public address that scoreline as well. But it's brilliant for Donegal to have that 2 weeks. That's all, and they did all they had to do today. Obviously against a very, very average Clare side who didn't seem to be motivated for the game. Clare are obviously a lot better than that, but you know, they didn't have that much to play for, and you know, their players probably would know that. But you know, fair play to Donegal, they did the business.
The, as you said, the public address announced their Manus. Tyrone have beaten Cork by 4 points, and a huge cheer, not an ironic cheer, from the Donegal supporters. I don't think we've ever in our life shared a Tyrone scoreline like that before, but that is brilliant though, isn't it, man? Not brilliant as in, I know people will be listening going, but there is a big difference, and you said it a load of times before the game. You can only be what's in front of you and all of that, but to have a level playing field, you really, 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 you don't want to be out 3 weeks in a row. Some teams are going to be out 3 weeks in a row. It's not going to be a level playing field for them. That's the punishment of finishing second or third. Like, there'll be no excuses now, is what I'm saying, going into a quarter final. You have a 2 week break, tidy up maybe a couple of injuries, and so on. I'll let you grab that.
Well, the only thing I'll say that, whatever teams are out next week and they have to play the following week, they are on the back foot straight away. Donegal may be one of those teams, thanks to the result by Tyrone. However, I still think everybody should have a fair playing field in this
100%.
Year. I think asking amateurs to play 3 and 4 games in a row, 4 weeks in a row, is nuts, it's madness. It's a financial decision, it's not a welfare or development decision that they've taken. But Donegal will take it, they'll go back. You know, the pluses from today is the likes of the bit of game time into Hugh McFadden, Conor O'Donnell, the form that other players have shown today that they hadn't maybe shown in the past. That hopefully it'll give a couple of weeks for Jason McGee to get back up and get at it again and get himself in a good place to play whoever we have to play in the quarter final. But to be fair, it's a very positive day. Not so much for Clare. Feel sorry for them. They're going to have to go back. They're going to have to, you know, dust themselves down. Whoever will be manager next year, they'll have to try and get those players back on a level that they can compete again. But I think this is the one reason, and this game today will sum it up, why the format of the football championship needs to be changed, needs to become more competitive, as is the hurling championship.
Thank you very much, Manus Boyle. Is Barry McGowan driving, is he?
Who's driving? Barry. And he's waiting on you. I know he's a quiet man, isn't he? But he might be too happy if you're stuck on the podcast. He wasn't a bad player himself. Actually, we had a message. I actually had a couple of messages. This is totally away from everything here in the game. Someone actually did ask me on a podcast before, what was Barry McGowan's best position, actually?
The middle of the field for Fannett.
Was he a good soccer player? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought of it there.
I think you could have played probably Barry. Barry would probably have been the one player that would have glided into the modern game probably more than the rest of us. I'm sure we would all have adapted, but the modern game would probably have been most suited to the way he played, and many others that I was fortunate enough to play with over the years.
I was meant to ask you that about 3 years ago, and only after thinking of it because he's waiting on you in the car. fair enough. Listen, you have to go back to Killie Beggs, Manus. I hope you better buy Barry McGowan. He still looks after himself. You better buy him a takeaway.
Yeah, a great day for Donegal. I think Alan Foley showed me a stat there. I think we scored 225 against Down in the championship, and this is probably maybe the second biggest total that Donegal have ever scored in championship. It was probably very, very easy for them in many, many ways today. We expected that, you know, the Clare challenge wouldn't be what Donegal have been meeting in the last couple of months, you know, since we went to Derry. Like this Donegal team has been on fire, but as Manus says as well, you know, we have to, we'll be in with the big boys from now on, the quarterfinals, but you know, we would have taken that at the start of the year, the transformation that Jim McGuinness has done to this team. But there's a lot of very, very, very good footballers there. And I think maybe 11 or 12 different scorers today. And I think Niall O'Donnell was probably the only forward who didn't score. And you couldn't say that he didn't play well either. You know, Oran Doherty probably was the other one that started. But other than that, you know, it was a complete real all-round performance for Donegal today. They'll be very, very happy going home. They were able to rest players that maybe had a niggle in the second half, and having Conor O'Donnell back on the field, I think that's a very, very big plus for Donegal. But overall, I think, you know, they did what they had to do here, and we didn't expect anything less of them, but fair play to Tyrone. I say Tyrone did the business for us.
Okay, thanks once again to Peter Campbell and Manus Boyle for their contribution right throughout the afternoon on Ocean FM. Still to come, we have Maurice Brosnan of the Irish Examiner and the Donegal Democrat duo Alan Foley and Chris McNulty. But before all that, here's Jim McGuinness talking to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's comfortable victory.
It means a lot. It means a lot that we can go home now, you know, and we know where we're at, and we know what we want to do in terms of our preparation. We looked at that, both sides of it, you know, prior to the game, and trying to work all those bits and pieces out. But now that it's fallen for us, we're delighted. We'll take it. We'll recover them well before we start building them up, and hopefully we can make it count physically.
Jim, from a Clare point of view, were you expecting a bigger challenge today?
We were. We've seen how tough the game against Cork was and how far Clare had pushed them. From our own point of view, I suppose we were searching for that top spot, and that meant that we had to bring everything that we had, you know. And obviously a big piece of the jigsaw for Clare is their goalkeeper, which they lost before the game and to a serious injury, I believe, and we had a lot of work done on him, and then to find that out before the game. But he's a very good player, you know, in terms of the build-up phase and stepping in and using the ball and everything. So, you know, when you lose a player that's been there for a long time, you know, not that the other young lad didn't do well, but when you lose a player that sort of knows all the inner workings of the system, it can be difficult, you know. So so everything fell for us today. The last day was the absolute opposite. We had to deal with probably everything going wrong for us, but listen, everything happens for a reason, and we'll try and take the positives today and move forward.
Was it not a cliche about you learned more from your losses? Did you change anything from based off Cork?
No, we didn't. I suppose there was one or two areas that we focused in on, you know, and trying to make ourselves, I suppose, more consistent in. But definitely not. No, there was nothing there. We kicked 16 points in Cork. You know, we went through a bit of a video this morning, and we showed all of their transitional moments and them in an established attack. And it was probably one of our best performances from an attacking point of view. We know we showed great composure. We had very good teamwork and team play in the attacking. We had seen that today as well. It was kind of an extension today off that good work. And you're watching the clips and you're thinking, how did we lose the bloody game? But we lost the game because a lot of sort of individual and defensive errors. People made more mistakes in that game than I've seen them make them in their whole career put together. So we kind of knew that, you know, that all things being equal, that wouldn't happen to us again, and sort of not to press any panic buttons, trust the process and just get back on track again today. And thankfully, our neighbours across the border have done us a big favour and put us in the quarterfinal, which we're thankful for. And obviously, Tyrone were playing hard themselves today. They wanted that home quarterfinal, preliminary quarterfinal draw, and they were fighting for that. And so everybody was fighting for something today.
What about Mulroney? He wasn't named on the bench.
And Keelan McCullough when we're at it as well.
I know Keelan, so we're back to this conversation now. So Keelan's very close again. Gavin actually picked up sort of a nip in training during the week. We thought that it might have been more serious than it was, but it turned out to be very little. So we just took precautions with him this weekend as well, and he'll be back training on Tuesday night.
How good is it for the squad that, you know, Steve McMenamin got on and Kevin McGeady can get on? You know, fellas that haven't been really featuring over the last couple of months, and I'm sure you need them still to be driving it on and training. But
well, they have been. That's why they got on. That's been honest with you. They have been. You know, and I suppose if we had got the result that we wanted in Cork, there would have been an awful lot more fellas starting this game. That was the disappointing part. There was two really disappointing parts to the Cork game for me. Was the fact that a lot of them lads that we wanted to get more game time into didn't manage to get it today. And then the second thing was the support that we had from Donegal was absolutely huge down there, and you know, it was disappointing to not come out with the right result. But listen, they travelled in their numbers again today, and thankfully the boys put on a good performance, and we're delighted to get through in the end.
Will you be out and about now tomorrow and over next weekend? Or?
We will probably yeah. And then obviously we don't know who we're playing. Sometimes you can have an idea that it's X, Y and Z. We will have a look at that, and obviously next weekend we'll have try and cover all bases.
How do you think of Dean having the 2 weeks off now?
Good, Charlie, yes. That's the third time I've answered that question, but it's
first time for me. Try it again then.
Hopefully it's important, like, in terms of the recovery process. Everybody wants to be in the quarterfinal, and the easiest path, and that's what we've got now. And we'll be able to physically drop them down a level before building them up. And it doesn't change anything on the tactical side, because we won't know until next weekend, next Monday week probably, before who we get. But listen, delighted to get over the line today and to get that progression.
Putting your hands up there for a place in the starting 15 today coming on.
Aye, listen, we've been trying to create this sort of dynamic all year where we're a strong squad, and they're slowly but surely all starting to get healthy. We want to keep that going, Charlie.
You've probably answered this one as well, Jim, once or twice, but not just having Conor O'Donnell back today, but back with a bang. We thought he looked really, really impressive, and every Donegal supporter, I think, just so happy for him, because it's been a tough year.
Yeah, it's been a very, very tough year. Like, and it's been a year. It's not been since the start of the season. It's been, like, you know, since the Monaghan game last year in the Championship. So it's been a long time coming for him. But we're all delighted for him. He's such a good boy, you know. And as the man says, from a management point of view, he's very low maintenance and a very skillful player. So delighted to have him back.
I know this is another one that you've probably answered a couple of times. Ulster, you are high every week. It can't be hard emotionally, physically. We have no idea how hard it is to get up for that. And then you had to beat Tyrone again. And then it was a week to Cork. We felt, most neutral observers, and that it was very hard to go again a week later. So I would imagine, was there much soul searching done after that?
Not really, no, not really. Like, I mean, we just try to really focus on the positives and bring them into our game today and sort out a few problems that we had in the game, and, you know, not overthink it, just get back to basics and, you know, trust the process or the processes and go from there. And thankfully they did that today.
Final one for me. So far, Jim, it's been an incredible year. We said it in commentary, three massive ticks: promotion to Division 1, tick, Ulster champions, and top of the group. You just, for here and the now, you can't ask for any more, I would imagine.
No, you can't. There's a couple more ticks there. There's a couple more ticks that we'll be looking at. Like,
for now.
we're there now. We must try and make it count. That's the most important thing, you know. Just bring your best performance. Every game's going to be, you know, it's knockout football today for every team that's playing, tomorrow for every team that's playing. We knew that. So that's where we're at. And, you know, we have to try and make 2 weeks' time count if we can at all.
Okay, up next, it's Maurice Brosnan of the Irish Examiner, who runs a wonderful podcast, and you're a brilliant writer as well. You're the jack of all trades and master of many. Donegal, a rout here this afternoon. What did you make of it?
Very impressive, albeit up against not much. I think, you know, it's funny listening to Jim downstairs there. He mentioned the two things they'd honed in on was how involved Clare's goalkeeper is in open play and what they do from their kickouts. And you come in today and they're missing their goalkeeper and their star midfielder is serving a suspension, and you're thinking, okay, now you're really crippled here, that you've got a young kid coming in for, and it's just such an uncomfortable atmosphere, isn't it? And that's just, Donegal are so clinical. Like, when they get a hold of a keeper like that, they just pull them apart. Their press was unbelievable. They're a very formidable team. I don't think anybody's going to like to see them coming. I was listening to, it's funny, on the way down today, I was listening to your podcast from yesterday, and I was thinking in the car, was it as simple as to say it was just a weak turnaround? That's what caught Donegal for the Cork game we're talking about now.
We're very biased, okay?
But so at the time, it was up in the air for me. And I, after watching that today, I think you're right. Like, I think it was just, they just got caught. Even, again, just noises from the camp to suggest that it was actually their best attacking performance was that Cork game. And then you see what, you know, in full flow today, to see it up close like that, just the way, how clinical they are with their cuts, how efficient they are in attack. There was one stage in the first half there, I think Clare had 1 point from 9 shots. Donegal had 111 from 14 shots, and you're thinking, this is just polar opposites here. So, yeah, very, very impressive is my main takeaway, albeit not up against much.
You're a Kerry man, aren't you?
I'm kind of a mix of a mongrel, I suppose. My family are from Kerry. I grew up in Galway, so I have a foot in both camps, but neither of them would like to play Donegal the way it's going here.
See, I was going to attack you. I think you're a brilliant writer, and I mean that, and I think you're wonderful on social media. I was in bad form 2 weeks ago. It's only Donegal Championship game I missed, and you were tweeting away about Ulster versus non-Ulster teams, and I'll be honest, I was really grumpy. The young lad was up early in the morning and everything, and I was thinking, no, I might need Maurice now for a podcast. I won't go at him now. You're brilliant, but all joking aside, no, Donegal were very good. I do think, and it wasn't making excuses, Cork are a good side. It just felt, and I use the word 100 times, it's hard when you're in Ulster, you've come through 4 games. It's not even about the standard of Ulster. It's hard to keep going to the well every single time. You were at some of those Ulster games. I met you at the Ulster final, and it's a carnival atmosphere, and the fans are behind you, and there's this innate happiness. It's a bit like the Munster hurling. You have to go to the top of the well, and then you get Tyrone again in Ballybofey, and you put in probably your best display of the year. I did honestly think that Cork game was a banana skin. I felt the week, and I just felt that emotional high. It was hard to get up from it. It's not taking anything away from Cork.
No, it's definitely not, but there's a couple of things on that I was looking at today. When you look at the impact, especially from watching back that Cork game, that Cork got off their bench that day, and then you look at, I mean, just the, you know, one of the loudest cheers I think all day was when Conor O'Donnell came on there. To see Steve McMenamin get minutes back again, Hugh McFadden come back in, like suddenly Darrell Boyle coming on and kicking an outrageous point. The way that they kept the tempo, this idea that they were conscious of needing the score difference might come into it, and they're going to drive that home. And that's not a string I would have seen in Donegal's bow, to be honest, up until pretty recently. I actually even thought in the Ulster final, I might have said it to you after it, that it was nearly a saving grace from a Donegal perspective that Armagh waited as long as they did to get in. You know, like, Oisin O'Neill came in, had a great impact, and Nugent came in, kicked great points, but they probably waited too long to get, whereas they probably could have provided an impact slightly earlier. And now Donegal have that. Like, they really have unbelievable options. Bar Jason McGee, who looks like he's going to be okay for a quarterfinal, you've no injury concerns, you've got real concerns with whoever it is that they're going to start to run from the bench. So that's it's just starting to look ominous for me. I don't overreact, because again, they weren't up against much today, but I definitely think today, if today was the mission, was get back on track, they did that pretty impressively.
You're looking for cheap B&B in Donegal in the summer. Can I ask you, we talk about the ills, the structures of the championship. Sometimes you're now on a podcast, and you're probably the same. You end up talking about the structure more than the games. There's actually been a lot of brilliant games in this year's championship. Of course, there's been massacres, there's been routes. We saw one here today. And there are issues. There kind of always has been, and there always will be. There's been a lot of good games, and unfortunately, the structures have come to the surface more than anything else. And people were, like, I saw people online in the last week saying, these are dead rubbers this weekend. Like, absolutely not. Even Mayo people saying, have they not learned anything from last year? There might be no jeopardy in terms of there's 3 teams advancing from the group, but there's absolute massive, it's word of the year jeopardy, isn't it? There's massive jeopardy if you can win. Like, we are buzzing here today because It's a 2 week break, and we've said it before, you're going to the well every week. A 2 week break for any team is an absolute, I think it's imperative. Last year, three of the four teams came that, you know, finished top, ended up making a semi-final. I think if we do get a lot bigger sample size, that's going to be the way forward.
But you know what, you touched on something there that I think is, and you're in the same industry I am, so you would experience it a lot. I think the public haven't embraced this format. That's, you know, Bart, you could see even the Donegal fans today was, I honestly couldn't get over it. Just the crowd around Castlebar earlier today. You see that with some counts, Armagh as well are particularly good for that as well. But by and large, I don't think the public have embraced this format. But if you, as you talk to players and managers, whether it's to be on or off the record, you get a very clear sense. They understand, it's crystal clear in their heads how important it is to top the group. Like, it is absolutely imperative if you want to have All-Ireland's aspirations. And I thought the biggest takeaway for me, being as we were downstairs there, listening to every talk post-match, was how delighted Donegal were at that. That 2 week break is there now. What that means, both from a rest and recovery perspective, but also what it does to opposition. Like, I absolutely wouldn't overstate that. And just to circle back to something you said there a second ago, before, it's funny, right? I was at Jim Gavin, I'm sure everybody has seen it, Jim Gavin launched the FRC, the trials are going to be trialing over the next few weeks. And, you know, one of the things that, for whatever reason, it wasn't reported elsewhere, they put up the survey results so far. They put them up on the screen in front of us. And I thought it was very interesting to see the amount of people who thought, right now, like, with no changes whatsoever, that the game was good or very good. Like, a huge proportion of people. And it got me thinking, to what extent are we, you know, like, I cover hurling and football. Hurling would have killed for provincial finals, like what we got in football this year in Connacht and Ulster, and even in Leinster. When you compare it to a turkey shoot in Leinster, I covered the Munster hurling final last week. It was an okay game, but it's not comparable to what we got in Ulster or Connacht. And for whatever reason, football in general, and media play a part in this too, definitely, tend to speak down the sport to a certain extent. And I don't necessarily understand why. So, looking from my perspective, there's been a lot of good games this year in particular. I know last year might have an issue, but this year there's been some really good games. I think the All-Ireland race is starting to look a bit more open than maybe we would have been taught in the league. Maybe today is in the back of my head when I say that. But I think generally, I think the structure, it might need some tweaking, but the game itself might be in a better place than we talk about.
Well, I would read articles from 15, 30, 40 years ago, and they always spoke in Gaelic football, whatever it was. The game's in a bad place. There's definitely this romantic idea of what it used to be like. And I was watching some of the... My mother's a Clare woman, and she's hurling country, and my uncles are staunch hurling fans, and they're always... They never slate the game of hurling, even in the pundits. Last week, Kilkenny, absolute rout. They've won so many in a row in Leinster. Limerick now have won it. And there was a rout to Dublin, but the analysts after it weren't running down the game of hurling. And to be honest, I think hurling has a lot of problems as well. It's a wonderful, terrific game. We just always absolutely run it down. And I would also like to say, you even see it with politics, with the elections last week. I was having a few discussions with people and they were saying, so-and-so won't get in. And I says, why not? I won't name them. I couldn't be bothered getting into that now. And they're like, oh, well, judging by Twitter, judging by Facebook, you're not voting for X, Y, or Z. And they had 800 likes. And it's the same with GAA. Somebody comes out and says, Gaelic football's terrible. So it's shocking. It's all. And it gets loads of traction online. I don't think it's a metric to measure how the game is. Are the attendance is down? Yes, probably because of that Jeopardy thing.
Yeah, and that's, I think, you can't be ignorant to everything within the game. Like, there are probably changes, small tweaks, whether that be from a structure perspective, from a format, from a calendar, from the game itself, that they could work towards. But just generally, I think the game is in a pretty good place. When two teams are willing to go at it, like the first half of the Ulster final was absolutely electric. That's one that stands out of my head, both from an atmosphere perspective and what we saw on the field, which would have you relatively optimistic about. But where we are right now, regardless of what changes to come. And I do think there's, on the year itself, it can be hard. Like, I appreciate it. It can be hard, especially if, you know, you're trying to watch as many games as you are, and people can fall into maybe a habit, or there's a small little trap. It's an easy off rally where you can just tend to, it's a lot easier to be negative than it is to be positive, because with positive, you have to have specific examples. Like, why was Ryan McHugh so good here today? You know, why was the move with Oisín Gallagher when he came off the shoulder? You need to have all that in the back of your mind. You need to be able to reference it. Whereas it's a lot easier just to slay the game. If I was to turn around to you here and say, listen, this was a turkey shoot, look at the scoreboard, that's it, you know, job done, argument made. So it's a harder argument to make, but definitely from my perspective, I've been relatively optimistic about where the game is. I really enjoyed what we've seen so far this year, and I'm really looking forward to what we're going to come, especially now that we've got a small bit of jeopardy, which is a word that everybody seems to love, coming down the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. It is way easier to cherry pick something on the negative. Even if you took a player, any random player in Ireland, and you said to me at the start of the year, he's overrated, and I says, no, he's not, he's a really good player. It's actually way easier to pick out the negatives. Yeah, yeah. There's more space. There's a bigger vacuum on the actual negative side of it. We're getting probably too philosophical here. And I'm going to ask you this now, the state of play. So we have big listeners this year, and a lot of them will be tomorrow morning. So there are a couple of games that will be old by the time they listen. But just the state of play for the 2024 All-Ireland, just in terms of teams, last four, final, what are you thinking? Who's your, currently as we, you know, sit here in the wonderful stand here in McHale Park, Castle Bar, what's your ranking like? What's your...
Like, I had... From the very start, that I Dublin and Kerry 1 and 2, and I'm still going to maintain that. I just think they're ticking the marks lovely. The schedule, you talk, you know, you want to talk about what Ulster would take out of a team. The schedule for them is just fitting nicely. Like, you have to think about it. Dublin had the luxury of being the first team in history to take a training camp during championship. To the extent where they can actually go and take a break in the middle of the year. So that's the extent where they're at in terms. So you know, the trajectory there is completely upwards, they're ticking along nicely. I actually think Kerry are in a similar boat and maybe slightly floating under the radar in that regard, but are ticking a lot of the boxes for me. But in terms of challengers then, tomorrow, I'm pretty sure a lot of these results are going to be old news pretty soon, but tomorrow will be massive. Like from a Galway perspective, especially what comes in that Armagh game, when you think about the consequences of losing in the exact same fixture last year and what it did to their season, and it looks like they've taken a small bit of a gamble and are going to play Robert Finnerty and Sean Kelly, that's a huge game. So if they get a win there, I think they're right in the race. Donegal, I mean, after that, I think are as good as bet as anybody. They just have all of the hallmarks you look for in an All-Ireland winning team are there now. I know Jim is kind of a pain to stress. This is a work in progress and things coming. But in terms of depth, in terms of completely clarity of what they're trying to do, in terms of the defensive structure, I thought a couple of small tweaks that we did see today versus maybe what we've seen up to now was that very rarely was McCall actually coming up and joining the play. He was staying back with the man there. They were a bit more set if there was to be a crazy counter-attack like we saw against Cork. Just a small thing. Again, opposition taken into context there. But it was interesting to see that level of tweak. And it didn't affect their attacking strategy whatsoever. Like, they still carved him up. They actually probably should have had two goals in the first half if Thompson sticks that chance as well. They're completely clear. So, yeah, Donegal are absolutely in the race for me there. And then there's a gap then. There's teams who might be able to hit that mark there, but judging what evidence we've seen so far, they haven't the ability to string it together match on match, and which is going to be pretty crucial as we come around to a quarterfinal. So those four are a small bit ahead of everyone else for me.
I promise this is the last one. Just the outside view, what do you make of Jim McGuinness as a manager? He's obviously, he mesmerises everybody. And Donegal. And Donegal, he's what Maradona was in Argentina. But I know, all joking aside, he's a breath of fresh air to the championship, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think there's two things there. There's tactically and what we wanted to see that. And I think we all got, me included here, like we all got very carried away early on in the reign where we thought he's going to come and be the next, rather than evolution, revolution. It's going to be this gung-ho press, the Cork game. I was guilty of it, as everybody was, of thinking. But if you park that element of it for a second, because there are things they're doing tactically that are pretty interesting, but park that for a second, that thing you mentioned, the charisma, the ability to get people inside, the joy he showed downstairs when Conor Donnell came in after doing his runs, his ability to get people onside like that, to how infectious, whether it be talking to Patrick Morgan after the Ulster final or Paddy McBrady's speech and how in depth he went, that is just, it's subtle and it's a very hard thing to articulate. But it is so powerful. It is just, when you get a team and a county behind you like that, it's pretty amazing. So I think it's, and I have to say, I think it's in opposition to teams' heads now. I genuinely do think that they are conscious of his aura. I know Mark Fitzgerald told me downstairs after that they were up in Ballybuffet for the first game, that they weren't at the Cork because they're obviously playing, but went to see them up close and was just blown away by how good they were. And maybe might have thought that, like you, there was a banana skin coming, but it won't scupper him. So no, he's something different for us as in the media to talk about, and that's as much as we'd hope for.
Well, you've exceeded my expectations, and it's no great surprise. A wonderful writer, a great talker, and extremely articulate, and yeah, a typical cute, you know, I can't say it on the podcast, can I? Cute,
because you've a foot in both camps, Galway, Kerry, you can kind of swing from one to the other. Yeah. If they're playing in an All-Ireland final, you're cheering for Galway though, yeah?
2022 was a nightmare. Now I'm cheering The only thing I'm cheering for, as I'm sure you know, is a good game. That's all, as a journalist, you just want to be as objective as possible. So as long as football wins, I'm happy.
Man of the people and man of the match on the Donegal GAA podcast, Maurice Brosnan of the Irish Examiner. Thank you so much for giving up your time.
Anytime.
Yes, the final section here of the Donegal GAA podcast. I am delighted to be joined by the dynamic duo, or maybe the gruesome twosome, but I have to be nice to you. It's Alan Foley and Chris McNulty of the Donegal Democrat. Before I get a word with the two lads, loads of shout out today. I just want to give a big shout out to loyal listeners to the podcast, Dervla Gallagher and Gregory Gallagher, of course, from Ballyshannon. Big shout out to Pat McGill in New York, my own Auntie Anne Fury over in Glenties. I think she was having a barbecue today. And Brendan Van Manelis, who is away sunning himself. Where did he say he was? Grand Canaria, somewhere like that. We're not in Grand Canaria. We are into the West. Chris McNulty, huge win for Donegal. Is it fair to say this game itself, though, not a huge amount to talk about? I think, Chris, we were sitting beside each other in the back of the stand. We were more obsessed with events in Tullamore.
Yeah, look, in a game like this, Paddy, there's a couple of things you want. You want to win, you want to win well, and you want to come out of it clean in terms of no injuries and maybe nothing stupid in terms of discipline. Like, it's one of those days where you just want it to be fuss-free, and it kind of was that for Donegal. Like, Clare got the first point of the game, and really once Ryan McHugh hit the back of the net, like, I remember even writing a report at the time, it just seemed inevitable what was going to happen thereafter. Like, really, Clare didn't leave a glove on Donegal, and I think, look, it's pleasing from Donegal, for Donegal from a few perspectives. Got a big score, got a game time into a few guys that we haven't seen much or any of this season. Look, it's good work for Donegal, but we move on rather swiftly.
Yous are probably the same. You end up kind of not even discussing this game today, and we won't actually spend much on it. A minute, 2 minutes itself, it was a massacre. It was a rout from the 10th minute. If you were to pick, I think we actually forgot to give a man of the match on Ocean FM, Peter Campbell, Manus and myself. Did Ryan McHugh, was there even an official? Probably Ryan McHugh. Gallen was good. Keelan McGonigal was good. They were all good today, weren't they?
I don't think there was an official man of the match, but certainly Ryan McHugh, If you look at where Donegal have lifted themselves, Ryan didn't play last year. Ryan has come back with a real purpose, a real sort of intensity to his game. And his sort of graph is moving upwards as Donegal's has done this year. It's great to see it, because like there was a couple of times, like, he got those injuries, the concussions, and you were sort of wondering then when he stepped away last year, even with Jim's return, how much he would contribute or how good he would be. But like he's back to something close to his best this year, and look, albeit against opposition, but it was the same opposition, I suppose, for everybody. Paddy scored 1-4. I mean, to score 1-4 from sort of where he's playing and stuff, it's quite a good. I'd probably just give him the nod, although there were a few who sort of would have put their hand up for inclusion on that.
Yeah, I think for us lads, we were talking, Alan, a couple of times on the phone as well about Jim coming in, and some managers lead a county, okay? Sorry, some managers lead a team. Jim leads the team and the county. And what we felt needed to happen about 5 months ago, can he get players that were maybe playing at 6-7, maybe out of 10, can he get them to 8-9 out of 10 for 2024? Can he get other guys maybe that were operating in an 8 up to a 9 or 10? And without maybe going through all the individuals on it, we're seeing that, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we spoke in Oma, maybe in the McKenna Cup in January, and the consensus I think we had then was Jim McGuinness will make you as good as you can be. And at the time I think we said, is that good enough to get out of Division 2? We said, yeah, it should be. Is it enough to win Ulster? We were like, hopefully. Those boxes are ticked, as you said yourself, with Jim there now. So, they're moving along nicely, Paddy, and I think, that was a game they probably needed after Cork. They kind of eased themselves back into the championship. The feeling in Cork was weird because, Jim McGuinness only lost 4 games in his first tenure, and every one of them you remember. Like, you remember 2011 was the Dublin game, of course, 8-6. 2012 didn't lose one. 2013, then there was the Monaghan Ulster final. The first only game they'd lost in Ulster under Jim in the first tenure, and then you had the rout by Mayo at Croke Park. Then 2014, of course, was the All-Ireland final against Kerry. So, like, they always kind of stuck in your mind, and I think they would have really hurt the people of Donegal and hurt McGuinness. where the feeling was a bit different in Cork. Not that the players weren't hurting, but you knew with the new setup and the group stage, you kind of had another chance. And, you know, you still were coming down here today thinking we're confident of making whatever we could make in terms of score difference. So really, the focus was on Tyrone and Cork quite early. It got to the stage where halfway through the second half, it was nearly the whole focus. Because that game was so close for so long before Tyrone managed to run away with it. But we are where we are now, I think. Yeah, and as you said, like, you know, Jim has taken these players on. The one thing I noticed last year, I think we were down last year, Donegal played Clare. Like, I remember, as I might have said to you before, Paddy, I actually thought that day going down in the car, Donegal had lost a league game in Roscommon a few weeks before that by 12 points, and thought, like, there's a serious chance Donegal could lose this game. Now they battled through and they won it like 14-9, something like that. But I remember thinking that day, you know, we have a good, you know, quality player. Last year was a mess of a year, and you thought when you strip it all back, there were still lads in the jersey that are giving it all for Donegal. So, you know, it was just a matter of harnessing that right, and no better man than McGuinness to do that, Paddy.
There's no doubt about that. And I know, Alan, you're a brilliant man for your permutations and so on. So we're going to look at the state of play in a minute. I just said to Maurice Brosnan there of the Irish Examiner, Chris, and I won't keep you too long, lads. Jim McGuinness is interesting. You get really good managers that lead a team and they can be really successful. Jim kind of leads the county, doesn't he? He's an arm in absolutely everything. And some people are nearly looking left field this year. Well, it's not just Jim, it's XYZ. Jim just has raised the bar so high. I think whatever happens now, Chris...
Yeah, I think, like, when Jim came back, you could see the interest in Donegal. And, like, Donegal had fallen a little bit from sort of being top-table contenders. But once McGuinness came back, he just kind of has that, I don't know, is it an aura or an intrigue about him where he's had that ability in his coaching career to do something sort of really out of the ordinary and sort of take people by surprise. And I think all the time people now are sort of just looking at him, kind of going, what's he going to do here? What's he going to do there? And, like, the people at Donegal, no more probably than his players, they believe in what he's doing, they believe in what he's saying. And for people like that, he's very easy to get behind. Like, you'd even see today, like, on, you know, a Saturday afternoon, like, where there's, you know, there was, what, 5,100 and something here today. There was probably 5,000 and something Donegal fans. Like, the bulk of the crowd today, you've seen the crowd, like, 2 weeks ago in Cork, making thousands of people making the trip the length of the country in a bank holiday weekend. He has really taken the county behind him. And, like, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Donegal are going to Croke Park in a pretty good place. They're going with their confidence up. They're going on the back now of a big win, a two-week break. They're probably going not fearing anybody, but anybody they play, they may not be feared of Donegal, but they'll be looking at them just with sort of a bit of apprehension. Because Donegal under McGuinness, they've shown that, Paddy, in the past, that they can put it up on a day, if they execute his plan, that they can put it up to anybody on any given day. You know, if Donegal were playing next weekend, you look at sort of the injuries in the squad that we've had over the last few weeks, the absolute sort of toil that Ulster has put on the bodies. To get that recovery period now, I mean, it's only a fortnight, but in this sort of condensed championship, a fortnight's massive, especially a team like Donegal that certainly needs it.
Yeah, wonderful stuff, Chris. And last one for you, because I know, and I'll get one more from you as well, Alan. I know you have a million reports. You're very good for joining me. I remember interviewing you, Chris. It was a grim night in the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. We lost the Ulster final to Cavan in 2020, and you made a really interesting point. Now, it was simple, but sometimes the simple points are the good ones. You said, Donegal haven't been in an All-Ireland final since 2014, and there was kind of a six-year gap. And you were saying, you know what, Paddy, it's mad. The years go very quick. Time's an illusion, as Einstein said. And you said, another couple of years not making a semi-final. You're kind of nearly going back into that territory where we had a lot of barren years. There was loads of little gaps, say, between 83, 90, 92 and 2011. Have I got that one right? I have. So they're one game now away from actually getting back there again. And it feels to me to rubber stamp our real authority, how far we've come. A bit like the Irish rugby team, can you make a semi-final?
Yeah, I suppose a couple of things in that. Like, it's weird, it's 10 years since we were in All-Ireland semi-final. 10 years, I mean, that even, you know, when you say that, you're going, Jesus, is it 10 years? It is. It's 5 years, I think, since we were in All-Ireland quarter-final, 2019. I mean, that was even, I think, pre-COVID, because we had those things where we kind of didn't get out of, you know, group stages and stuff. There was that, yeah, where there...
Well, in official quarters. No, yeah, you're right, yeah. Official quarters. Yeah.
Like, It's absolutely mad, you know, but you kind of go back to sort of 2011 and that golden period under Jim, still pretty competitive in those years. Like, I would sort of just treat last year now, on the whole, when you look at everything, last year was just a sort of a freak year, really. Where did Donegal really fall that far? You know, where exactly on the thing, if you take the bigger picture and sort of go back 2 years, do you know, we sort of took, it's not that long ago since Donegal took Derry to extra time in an Ulster final that they probably should have, that they kicked on and won. There's been games in that sort of Rory Gallagher, Declan Bonner era that were like that, that, you know, they just probably didn't have that bit of bravery. But look, we're heading out a quarter final. We're one game away from an All-Ireland semi-final. And look, would you back against Donegal? Would you back? Now, like, they have a long way to go and sort of look after a 24-point win over Clare. Like, we're not getting ahead of themselves. But just to make the point, outside of, you know, the couple of sort of the top teams, in inverted commas, there's not much between anybody else. I mean, go back to the, you know, a few weeks back, like Derry, people were saying Derry were one of the favourites for the All-Ireland. Armagh have been sort of tipped, they've been thereabouts. Donegal have also beaten Tyrone twice in this year's championship. They're not going to be far away. And look, we're draw dependent now at this stage. We're absolutely and utterly draw dependent. And, you know, if you get an absolute sort of bitch of a draw come the quarterfinals. But point being, we're one game from an All-Ireland semi-final, and coming from 12 months ago, Paddy, that's a marked improvement on paper.
Really eloquently put there, Chris McNulty. You're a gentleman, and I really appreciate you giving up your time. And you mentioned the draw. The draw man is right beside me, is Mr. Alan Foley, who's been working hard. And lads, I don't know how you do it at the elections. You must just be absolutely shattered. Your coverage was amazing last weekend, and you're back here again. I wonder what's more cutthroat, sport or politics? Probably hard to call out on Alan, is it? But you have it out here, the state of play. If Kerry win, if Dublin win, etc., and I know some of this content, some people might be listening to this on their Monday morning commute, and this will be old, so that's okay. We are recording here on Saturday evening, by the way, so before anybody texts me, what are you talking about? And I get a lot of that, and I deserve it. The state of play, Alan, for Donegal, moving forward.
The state of play, really, Paddy. We knew basically today Donegal were going to get through this group. Clare had a chance to beat them. You know, Donegal would lose a head-to-head, providing a result went Clare's way. It was probably never going to happen. And having looked at it, you know, this week, we kind of thought that Donegal would basically come first or second in this group, the same way Cork would kind of come first or third, just the way the things are out. But so, just to explain to people, you know, the group winners go straight to an All-Ireland quarter-final as a seeded team. And then all the seconds play the third next weekend in the preliminary quarter-final. So Donegal have bypassed that round, essentially. Now they're straight into the All-Ireland quarter-final. They will be seeded. They will be joined by the other group winners. So if we just go to form, and as I said, this may have turned on its head by the time it gets on the airs, you would expect Dublin to beat Mayo, Kerry to beat Louth, and at a squeeze, we'll just go for Armagh to beat Galway.
Just so, for the crack, that one, okay.
Yeah. So that would make them teams seeded as well. So Donegal would be on the same side of the draw as those other three teams, which means you cannot play them. I'm just going to say, if Donegal had to come second, they would have got a home draw next, probably Saturday night in Balbuffet. They would have played against the third-place team. So the third-place teams, you would, having looked at it before the game today, you're chatting about Roscommon. You couldn't have played Cork or Tyrone in your own group. Probably Monaghan and Derry or Westmeath. I think Donegal probably would have fancied themselves to beat any of those sides, but you would have been playing then 3 weeks in a row, plus you would have fallen into a quarter-final. Then, in a quarter-final, you're unseeded. You probably couldn't play a group winner at Cork Tyrone, and if Armagh won the group, you couldn't play them. You would have played Dublin or Kerry, I believe. So, the way it's gone now, Donegal have basically, more than likely, now it did turn on its head a bit last year. There were some crazy things happening on the last week, but I think from an early estimation, and this will be confirmed in the coming weeks, but I think Donegal could be looking into probably one of the Connacht sides, because we believe if it goes to form, Dublin, Kerry and Armagh can play Donegal. Tyrone, if they come through, would have won their own group. So you're left then with the sides that come through, that second v third. So I'm going to just take my head on the line and possibly one of the sides, Galway, Roscommon or Mayo.
You had a lot of numbers, lads, in front of you at the elections last week. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you did that, Alan. That's Was that practice from last week? I thought we talk about footballers being burned out. I thought you'd be burned out with your numbers. And I suppose the biggest takeaway from that is, if you're listening on the Monday morning and Dublin have beaten Mayo, and if you're listening and Kerry have beaten Louth, I suppose the good news for now, and of course you have to beat the best, Donegal cannot get Kerry or Dublin in the quarter final. And I think that's good news. I know, again, you have to beat the best, but...
And yeah, absolutely, beat the best. But I just think, you know, it's one step at a time. Owen Van Gallagher was downstairs getting into there. He's 99 games under his belt now, and he was asked about, you know, the 100, and can Donegal do this? He was very deliberate, and he says, like, we're just looking at the next game. They're in a good position now. They can sit back and probably get men out to watch this weekend's preliminary quarterfinals. Like, you know, they probably won't know the draw until the Monday after. But they're in a good position, as I said, because last year went week on week. Donegal had beaten Monaghan and Omagh. Then they lost to Tyrone. That was the end of Donegal. But you've seen then what Kerry had done the following week then to Tyrone in the quarterfinals. And I think only one of the four teams won last year that had come through the preliminary round. That was Monaghan won a shootout against Armagh. The other three were quite comprehensive from memory. And just when we're at the numbers, Paddy, that score today was Donegal's second highest ever in Championship football. Actually, joint second. The highest was just 3 years ago against Down. You might remember John
Cole. That's number one.
225 in Newry that day. Down only scored 112. And today's 223 match, the 417 scored against Fermanagh's 18, 1966. And a mention for Michael McLuhan, who scored 4 goals and 3 points. So Peter Campbell and I had actually gone through those and just got lucky. So just when Donegal were racking up the scores there, we thought, well, they'd be far off it, so we'd make it joint second.
Chris, can we give Alan Foley an All-Star?
I was gonna ask for an election recount there, but if you look at that page here, Paddy, I think we'll book in for the night.
Player of the year, get the tux, the black suit. You are going to whatever hotel in Dublin they have it. That is mesmerising stuff. That is absolutely brilliant. I had another question now to ask you, and I completely forget what it is. That's really impressive. So that's the second highest joint second with Donegal beating Fermanagh in 1966. That's unbelievable. Yeah, great. Oh, the question I was going to ask you, because I've had a million messages. And just for our listeners, you get a lot of people asking, what's the story with injuries? What's the stories with injuries? I think with GDPR now and that, you just find out that players are actually injured and you say they're injured. Now, sometimes if a lad does his cruciate or he does his hamstring, that's what it is, or he breaks a leg or whatever it is. But a lot of injuries we just don't hear from any manager. It's just from anybody. So people are asking, and rightfully so, I suppose, about Keelan McColgan and about Jason McGee. I don't want to get the injury wrong. Was Jim asked about it there this evening? I came in late. I think you were late as well for that, Alan, weren't you?
Yeah, I think, I think there was three lads today that played their first championship game with Steve McMenamin, Conor O'Donnell, which is a great story. It was actually 52 weeks ago, this very weekend last year. Wow. He played against Monaghan. He'd actually togged against Tyrone the following week. And you might remember he didn't make it through the warm-up. There was a late change that night. So for him to get back is unbelievable.
The Monaghan game was the last game, was it?
The week before in Omagh, yeah. So, it was a perfect game for Conor, even, you know, get a couple of scores there and just, you know, feel his way back in. And, you know, I always notice Jim speaks about these guys even when they are injured. We spoke about Owen Bannon a lot during the spring. There was one year he spoke about Christy Toy for the full year, and Christy Toy came back, you know, sensationally in 2014. So, you know, these guys are not forgotten about. But I suppose now Jason McGee and Keelan McColgan are the two we believe are probably the ones with a bit of ground to make up. Jason McGee wasn't playing today. In retrospect, you know, there was no need to risk him for that today. They have two more weeks now to see how that is. He said against Cork, we'll have to kind of see, so obviously today wasn't risked. Keelan McColgan, not far off by all accounts. So,
And you are, and it's not, we're not being apologists for ourselves, you are, but with injuries, a player's injured, it actually can be quite personal as well sometimes, so you don't want to be going online saying, well, it's X, Y, or Z. Actually, just make a fool of yourself and you're wrong.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, Paddy, the world has changed now. I mean, you know, we would have seen, like, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, every injury, you know, you would have got the exact sort of diagnosis relayed to you. But people now don't sort of, you know, they don't like their sort of personal issues like that being relayed to the public. And, you know, we hear now these things, you know, an injury is just described as being like a soft tissue injury, or it's a, you know, you might get that it's a leg injury. But I suppose as well, you know, teams have got so sort of paranoid, they don't want opposition managers or opposition players finding out anything, you know, about them, because, you know, if Paddy McGill, if they figure that Paddy McGill has injured his right ankle, well, rest assured, Paddy McGill's right ankle is going to be targeted in the next game. Like, but you have seen that, you know, they're really, really, especially, I suppose, since COVID, they're really reluctant to give you a diagnosis. And even there, when Jim was asked about Jason McGee, you know, he gave it, it felt like a generic sort of, oh yeah, we'll hope he's back. But really, if you sort of looked at him, you wouldn't have been too sort of hopeful, or you wouldn't have been too despondent. It was just sort of, look, it was an answer he had to give. You know, yeah, we'll hope, we'll give him every chance. We'll give him to the 11th hour to sort of prove his fitness, and that was that.
Interesting you say right ankle. I actually do have a bad right ankle. I'm actually transferring to...
news gets out, Paddy, I knew about your bad ankle.
Yeah, I'm... just to mention on the previous point, Hugh McFadden is the third player who made his first championship appearance of this year alongside Steve McMenamin and Conor O'Donnell, so...
Great servant.
Yeah, great servant, and, like, you know, things are coming together. He was part of the 2014 panel, and, you know, he got involved, I think, in 2015, was it, in Salt Hill, made his debut, so... Even like the way Owen Van Galler has got back up to speed throughout the winter as well, or throughout the spring more so than everything. So plenty to look forward to, I think. But it's one step at a time. I don't want to be too. The one thing about the Cork defeat, and I felt it as soon as the final whistle went, Paddy, is, like, you know, this might be no harm in the long run. They made mistakes in that game that they usually wouldn't do. There was decision making. You know, some just kind of bizarre things that you wouldn't really see too often either. And I just thought, you know, it'll kind of quiet them down. And, like, there wasn't much of a build-up to this, which might be no harm. Then all the talk was about Armagh, then all the talk was about Derry's woes, like, you know, Dublin and Kerry trotting along as well. So, as I said, there might be no harm at all with the way it's happening. So it'd just be interesting to see this team now in Croke Park, you know, with the open spaces. People, I think when Jim came back in first, they kind of painted him with the brush of, you know, Donegal are going to be... you know, try and flush you, they're going to be very defensive, Croke Park won't suit them. But then sometimes when you watch them now, the way they play, you know, it's quite offensive, like, the scores are big even long before today. But you can imagine Patter Mogan, and these sort of guys getting the scamper around Croke Park, which I'm sure they'll love as well. So,
well, I love the fact that Chris McNulty and Alan Foley have joined me on the podcast. She's had a massive, I know he's a big weekend every weekend, but she's had a gigantic one last weekend, enormous, and an enormous performance from you here on the show. And that's it, folks, for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Once again, thanks to Alan Foley, to Chris McNulty. Before that, we heard from Maurice Brosnan of the Irish Examiner. Donegal manager Jim McGuinness also joined me in, of course, on commentary today for Ocean FM. Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat, an All-Ireland winner with Donegal in 1992. Manus Boyle, a massive thanks to you, all our loyal listeners, wherever you are tuning in, right throughout the globe. And finally, a word to our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Onlahy Road, Donegal Town. And finally, the main man back at base, Austin O'Callaghan, who is on production, and he always gets the podcasts out in a rapid time. For me, Paddy McGill, coming from Hastings Insurance, McHale Park, Castle Bar. Bye for now, stay safe, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days.